It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Miss Peg, Maureen, Allura, and Steve. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for your free reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to the Psychic View on Psychic Access Talk Radio, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics are interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, ensuring you the highest quality of quality service.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Allura, Steve Frampton, and of course myself, Miss Peg. As always, we're all very excited to be here and welcome you to another live broadcast on Psychic Access Talk Radio. I'd like to welcome my charming co-hosts. Hi, guys. You ready for another awesome show?
I sure am.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Yay. Good. I'm glad we're all here. I was listening to you guys chit-chatter about your weathers. It's been really nice here in the fall weather, and the leaves are falling. They're everywhere. My son says, it's time to clean up the yard, Mom. This evening, our subject is creating a new reality, and we have a guest who did exactly that. Dennis Rodriguez is the author of The Superman Effect, a book so interesting you can't put it down once you start. Fear has picked up an uncontrollable speed in our world today. Skyrocketing unemployment rates, the threat of a worldwide economic collapse, global warming, domestic and international terrorism, and with the end of the Mayan calendar, what it might bring in 2012 has contributed to a why bother mindset that has put the prospects of a better life on hold for many throughout the world. Trips have been canceled, weddings postponed, fulfilling jobs aligned with our skills and passion are not pursued for security reasons. In America alone, according to the Conference Board by TNS, as of January 2010, only 45% of Americans are happy with their current job situation, which is the lowest number in 22 years. The idea that is explored in the Superman Effect is that a moment awaits us that will change everything, how we see the world and our purpose in it, our sense of worthiness, what we believe is possible, and how all the forces of the universe seem to support our new vision. So stay tuned. Soon we'll have this amazing author with us to discuss the steps he took in his own life to create a brand new reality. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll be accepting questions from you for on-air readings. And if you're new to the show, we'd like you to invite you to join us in the chat room. Go ahead and log in right now on the main page of our website. And if you were unable to catch our show about precognition last week, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives for all the previous shows right here on our website at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Okay, let's get things in motion. We did get an email in this week, guys. And I'm going to go ahead and read it now so everybody can maybe we can get a couple of little things on it. And then I'm going to talk to Dennis about it, too. It is worded just like this. This is a question for Dennis Rodriguez, who will be on your show in 2 hours or so, theme being creating a new reality. In summary, it is my understanding that there is only one reality. Why create a new one? And it's signed, sincerely, Stefan Van Dersen. So, does anybody have like I said, I'm going to ask Dennis here, but does anybody have something to say to that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I fully, totally respect his desire to live in the one reality he believes exists for everybody. But I would, my experience has been that, I don't know how to word this, I actually did a meditation this week, and one of the things I came up with is there people can live in the same space and live in different realities at the same time. And what that means is when you really start growing in your gifts and your abilities and your spiritual understanding, you can actually change the laws, but you start moving into areas that expand the laws of life that you live by. And without going into too much detail, that's the summary of it. So if he wishes to continue living in that, in whatever reality he feels, or if he believes there's only one reality for everybody, that's certainly his prerogative, and his, and if that's his desire, that's wonderful. But like you just said, 45% of Americans aren't happy with their jobs. People want more money. People want all kinds of things. And so they want to create either more prosperity usually in some area of their life, if not in all. And that's a type of reality you can create. So I would say there's a lot, that would be one good reason, lots of reasons why you'd want to create a new reality. So that's just my take on it.
Anyone else?
No, we'll be talking about that. I know I'm going to be talking about some of that later.
Yes.
In our discussion.
Okay. And I wholeheartedly agree with that, what you were saying. And I know for myself in my 45 years, I can tell you right now that reality has changed based on who I am and what I decide to do. But we'll discuss that later with Dennis. Yeah. Now it's time for our weekly checkup on the status of the stars and planets. What's happening in our solar system this week, Steve?
A lot is happening this week. Firstly, Mercury's finally giving us a reprieve this week. And although it was supposed to become stationary on the 12th, it didn't truly release us from its grips until the 27th. So all communication devices such as cell phones and fax machines are back to normal, and we can breathe a sigh of relief. The full moon in Aries on the 23rd packed a massive wallop. This is quite probably due to the autumnal equinox sharing center stage. There is more. There is another full moon in Aries on October the 22nd, which will really stir us to act on those tiny sparks of passion that could become so much more. It's a time to be the change you want to see in the world and in your own life. And when we do that, there's always an element of risk, but it has such an invigorating effect upon our lives and upon others around us. So remember that it's always good to be forewarned about what's coming, to gather insight, and to consider other people around you. October brings with it a few noteworthy moon void of course events. The first is this Saturday from 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time to approximately 11:20 a.m. The next comes on Monday the 4th from 7 a.m. Eastern Time to 1 p.m. and on Wednesday from 9:45 to 1 p.m. So make note and remember, no big decisions during these times. Just trust your instincts and, of course, enjoy the heightened dream time as the moon stutters from one sign to the other. On the 7th, we have a new moon in Libra, which helps us to remove our masks and embrace our true selves. It will make our paths clearer, more direct, and more focused, while bringing in others who will support us. In your horoscope, a new moon in any area of your life urges you to focus on issues that require input. The effects of a new moon are shown in outward changes, whereas the effects of a full moon are more emotional and directed inwardly. So being in tune with who you are from birth is always a wise move. Get your birth chart done and get to know who you truly are. One more side note about the wonder of the full moon and autumnal equinox of last week. Not since 1991 has a full moon occurred on the same night as the fall equinox, and it won't happen again until 2029. The power created is still surging around us as we speak, and there's so much wonder in the heavens above us. We end this week's weather report with a quote from Elizabeth Lawrence, who said, "Even if something is left undone, everyone must take time to sit still and watch the leaves turn."
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I do enjoy writing the weather each week. Now, I would like to introduce our special guest this evening. Dennis Rodriguez is the author of an amazing book, The Superman Effect. I want to share this little outline of the first chapter with you. I was really, truly moved by this book. The first chapter introduces readers to two men in one body. One man is afraid of believing he is capable of living out his dreams. The other remembers having flying dreams as a child, visions of the future, and an inner knowing that he is on Earth to serve a greater purpose. One man comes from an unsafe Puerto Rican home in the Bronx. The other achieved two master's degrees in acting and international business and a director position in higher education. One man crunched numbers in front of a computer. The other spent hours in meditation communicating with dying spirits from other realms. The chapter also recounts what happened to him on May 17, 2009. The moment that would soon birth a new life was vivid and enduring, but he was forced to meditate an inner battle in public between these two men before the moment would fully be realized. I want to welcome to the show a man I have great respect for. Hello, Dennis. Welcome to the Psychic View.
Hello, Miss Peg. It's truly my pleasure.
I'm glad to have you here. I really am. I want to tell you right here in front of everyone, I really appreciate all of the excerpts and all the information that you sent to me so that I could read up on this subject for this week. And after we spoke, I found this statement. It says, "We have proven ourselves to be a race of people controlled by fear. Make no bones about it. Everyone is afraid of something, even a Zulu warrior. What would be possible when fear is replaced with inner strength, self-love, and belief?" Dennis, you're a director at a university in Denver. What made you come to the understanding that you needed to change your life?
You know, I felt that I was being controlled by fear, just like you said. Specifically, fear of being judged. If I truly led in public the life that I was leading in private, I mean, my children and my wife and those that were closest to me knew of the experiences that I was having, the mystical experiences, the connecting with the dying. I would find myself being at the home or at the hospital a few minutes before someone dies and helping them through that process and having energetic healing experiences remotely. I didn't understand any of these experiences, but I knew that they were calling me to a new perception of my life. Yet, was I to reveal that to anyone at work? That might have led to some judgments that I was not prepared for. So I felt as if at some point a change needed to be made. I wasn't impatient. I was a bit frustrated, sure, because it was at a time when the recession was hitting and there were so many people that were experiencing feeling stuck and hunkering down and letting go of their dreams, at least foregoing them while they ride out this recession. And I had that dichotomy working in me as well, the feeling that should I give in to that, I would be there for a very long time, or is this the time for me to make a change? And that's what happened, as you mentioned, on May 17th, 2009.
Mm-hmm. I want to say to you real quickly here, because we had a last-minute question come in, and I kind of feel with what you just said, it might be appropriate to put it in right about now. We got a question here from a gentleman named Stefan Van Dersen. I don't know if you heard me read it, but I'm going to mention it again. He said, basically, in summary, it is my understanding that there is only one reality. Why create a new one?
That's a great question. First of all, I'd like to agree with who the listener is. The one who asked the question. Yes, I believe that there is one reality. But we are living in a state of mind that is created by our perceptions and beliefs. Those beliefs confirm who we think we are. And they hold us together. They define us, or at least we believe they do. Then our external reality confirms and validates that internal belief that we have about ourselves. To me, that's life. That's what we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Then there's what the spirit experiences. The spirit knows that the one reality is us. We are that reality. And that it's not tied to any belief. But it can't perceive that. That's when the ego comes in and creates a world that we see as real, feel as real. And that world defines who we are. The spirit then calls us to this ultimate reality that says, you're so much more than that. You're so much more. And then there's that tug. So to me, that's the stress. That's the conflict, is that we have this feeling of being stuck, and yet we know that something is calling us to a higher purpose. So I don't believe that I'm creating a new reality as much as I'm allowing for the only reality to surface by stripping away what the ego has created.
Right. Okay, Dennis, can you describe for our listening audience, what is the Superman effect?
Absolutely. It's what I believe happened to me on May 17th, 2009. I had spent 8 years working at a university, as I mentioned, and had just completed an MBA in international business. About 2 weeks later, after graduation, I was not going through a major crisis, a huge rumbling. I was making pancakes on a Sunday morning for my kids. There was nothing else going on. I wasn't thinking about anything. And suddenly, I just had a flash of a scene from the movie Superman. Now, I hadn't seen the movie in many years. And the scene is when Clark Kent, as a young Clark Kent, 18 years old, his father had just died, is standing in the wheat fields, and his mother joins him. And he doesn't even look at her, and he says to her, "I have to leave." And she turns to him and says, "I know. I knew this day would come. I've known it ever since we found you." And he gives her a hug, and the next scene, he's in Metropolis, and he becomes Superman. That scene flashed before my eyes, and I went right to my wife, who was in the bathroom brushing her teeth, and I said, "Hon, I have an idea for a book. I want to call it The Superman Effect." And I didn't even wait until she said anything. I went right to my computer and started typing. I felt a call to act. And that, to me, is a characteristic of the Superman effect. So, to me, the Superman effect is what Clark Kent went through and is what I went through on that day. It's a unique moment of awakening to a new direction for our life. And I started doing all types of research that I realized I had the books in my library for on that type of moment in the life of influential figures throughout history. And, for example, I'll give you a couple of examples. Of course, everyone knows the Bible story of Paul of Tarsus and his conversion moment. He was Paul of Tarsus, he was Saul of Tarsus, and became Paul after that moment. He was a persecutor, then became a believer and a proponent of that faith in which he was persecuting. Complete switch. He wasn't expecting it. He wasn't looking for it, but he needed to change his life, and he knew the universe was supporting this new vision for him. Abraham Lincoln, while witnessing a slave auction, right before getting into politics, he made a statement to his friends: "If I ever have a chance to hit this thing, I'm going to hit it hard." Now, this was 30 years before he became president and 30 years before the Emancipation Proclamation, but something told him that there was a shift in perception and that he was going to be living a new life. Mother Teresa talks about on September 10th, 1946, that she had what she calls Inspiration Day. She went from being a nun in a convent to choosing, while on a train ride, to go to the slums of Calcutta and start feeding the poorest of the poor. And the rest is, as we know, history with Mother Teresa. And the last one I'll mention is Doreen Virtue. On July 15th, 1995, she was saved from a carjacking. And from then on, she dedicated her life to the existence of angels. She didn't expect it, but she knew that her life had changed. A big motif, whenever I hear the words, "everything changed for me in that moment," that tells me that that's the Superman effect.
Okay. All right. We spoke of the state of resistance, okay? Can you explain what that concept means?
Yes. When we are in a state of peace and joy, I'm sorry, when we're not in that state, because I believe that that is the state, that is our innate state. As spiritual beings, our innate state is a state of peace and joy. When we're not in that state, I believe we're in a state of resistance to how we perceive our reality. What I mean by that is what we perceive, we choose to say, "That's not good for me. That is not okay. That is not all right." That somehow draws attention to my failures, to my faults, to my mistakes, to how I see myself in a limited. It's a guilt. It's a feeling that I have chosen to believe is negative. And therefore, that judgment on the feeling as good or bad causes the resistance of the feeling itself to be expressed, to be embraced, to be felt. Without the analytical mind being engaged and making that judgment, "This is good for me, this is bad for me, this means I'm right on, this means I'm wrong." When what I'm after, what I feel I'm after, is an environment where I feel safe. And when I don't feel safe, then my mind runs a computer search to find out the reasons why it doesn't feel safe. The problem, the program that it runs is based on
my beliefs and my interpretations of what things mean, my wiring from many, many years of experiences that I was not prepared for, that I couldn't digest, that caused what Eckhart Tolle now coins the pain body, you know, that imprint that gets in us, that is based off of a trauma that we were not able to fully digest because we had underdeveloped egos, and yet we weren't able to put it into a perspective in which we can understand and in a healthy way move through. So it stays in us, and then it gets triggered when things happen in our lives. So we attach all these meanings and interpretations of what things mean, and then we're not okay with them. And not being okay with them causes resistance. And the resistance itself is what is most painful. And yes, I believe that we are in a state of resistance. That's what causes our fear.
Okay. I know one of the things I've learned in my own world since reading your books and going through all the stuff that you sent me is about that it's okay to desire more. Okay, that feeling that, I don't know, that limited thinking, I suppose, and you believe that it is okay to desire more in life. Why do you suppose that most people don't see it that way?
Yeah, I think most people don't see it that way because they're afraid of being disappointed. It takes courage to step yourself out of that limited belief, thinking that I can only accomplish so much, and this means that I'm okay. I can stay at this level. There might be more out there for other people, but not for me. And if I try, I'm going to be disappointed in life. It's going to slap me in the face, and it's going to remind me that I'm small. So there's that huge fear. Is that fear real? We haven't yet tried. We haven't yet gotten out over our above ourselves into that realm of uncertainty. The other feeling that we have is that it's greedy to desire more. Who am I to desire more when my fellow man has less? And so there's these judgments and thoughts and beliefs that we have that say it's not okay. There again, there's the resistance. It's not okay. So until we face that judgment in a very gentle and non-judgmental way and say, okay, what are my beliefs around this, around desiring more out of life? And can I look at them, not judge them, not say that it's okay or not okay, but just look at them, just watch them, just notice them, see where they take me. What if there is something on the other side? Am I willing to take a leap of faith and see whether or not I can be moved without feeling as if I'm the author of the movement, the initiator of the movement all the time? You mentioned that most people don't feel comfortable with desiring more. I think a big reason is because they think that they're the ones that are going to have to do it, that it's only them. The whole world is out there, and then they're the ones that are going to have to somehow make it all happen. I believe that we make very little happen without the support of everyone else around us, everything else, all of God's creation. And so with that perspective, with that shift in perspective, as a knowing that it's a supportive universe, we're shifting from fear to love. And I know it's a Course in Miracles that talks about how a miracle is defined by a shift in perception from fear to love. And then it doesn't matter what you desire, what you want. You're connecting to that higher vibration of the longing for itself, for its sake. And then once you do that, wow, the feeling itself raises your vibration. And then it doesn't matter whether or not you achieve the thing you want, because you know you got the feeling that you wanted, that you believe that that thing would give you. That's really what we're after. We're after a state of oneness. And that state of oneness is not really dependent on anything, but we use things that we believe are going to get us there. If we can get in contact with that state of oneness without any desire to attract any one thing, wonderful. You will see the whole world come your way, actually. But until then, absolutely, connect to what you want that feels good. Connect to that desire.
Okay. As I'm listening to you speak, I there's a lot of this that's even affecting my own life. But I want to... Okay, how did you learn to fulfill these expansive matters in this new way of your life? How did you get to this place?
You know, I think one belief, oddly enough, it's a belief that I adopted, I believe that is the biggest reason why I've been able to fulfill a state of expansion and accept the dark nights as well as they come, because they do. Everything that I'm saying, I could forget tomorrow. and I'm going to need somebody else to remind me of it. So the one belief that I had was there is an appointed time. It's okay to be patient. Extreme patience actually works just the opposite than what we think. Extreme patience actually brings our manifestation closer to us much quicker. So I didn't feel as if I needed to leave the university right away. Actually, my wife told me years before, Dennis, you should be doing something else. What are you doing at the university? And I said, okay, when the time's right, I'll go. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I believe because of that, because adopting that belief, that gave me the freedom to trust that that moment will arrive and I'll be ready for it when it does, that I don't have to force myself to make it happen today. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on us. We think we've got to change our life today. And if that doesn't happen today, it's never going to happen. I chose to think to perceive things a little bit differently, and I believe that that's helped me quite a bit. But I also see every moment of my life as an opportunity to expand. I mean, what with that comes sitting with moments of fatigue, moments of when I feel small. It also brings moments of joy when I push through limiting beliefs. It's all of it. I mean, there's really no guarantee that the next moment is going to look any one way. We believe that there is, and that's the ego saying that you can control it all. But can you respond from a place of love when that moment arrives? And it's coming. It's giving us every opportunity. Everything that happens gives us a new day, a new time for us to explore that. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question on how
yes,
do
does.
I get more expansive. I want to be real. I want to be true. I want to be honest. I want people to know that I'm afraid every day. I want people to know that I'm nervous every day, that I have moments when I feel small. And every once in a while, I have a moment of insight and awakening that reminds me that I'm not small. That's really it.
Okay, while we were talking, you had said to me, and then I then later read it in your book, and you speak of yourself as being a privately spiritual man. And I picked up on the privately. So how did you find yourself in that life? I mean, it sounds to me like, and as I was reading the outline for the first chapter in the book, that it's you were two men inside, you know, one body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did you get to that place?
There was definitely a conflict, a war, I would call. I mean, it was definitely a war, primarily because that private man felt more like me, and I couldn't really talk to people about it. No one understood. You know, it was all about moral relativism. So, you know, it depended who you talked to, they would be able to receive you. I mean, I worked at a Catholic university, so there was many, many strong beliefs, and some of them are wonderful beliefs that are very expansive, and some of them seem to be a bit limiting. And so I pretty much squelched my spirituality in front of coworkers and those that didn't know me too well. Because although I have been a Catholic all my life, a lot of my experiences may be construed as not being Orthodox. And so my spirituality comes from, I would say, the mystical tradition of Christianity, of Sufi Islam, of Tibetan Buddhism, of all of the religions that have that a contemplative and mystical tradition to it. And where we see our definition of God not being tied to any concept, but being something that is experienced, as opposed to being tied to, this is my definition in words. So I would spend a lot of time in prayer, and I wouldn't know why. And it would be very, very powerful experiences that then, maybe, you know, a week or two later, I would find out the purpose and the cause for it. And I would talk to my wife about it, but I wouldn't talk to many. And I continued to read, and I continued to digest all this information, never thinking that someday I was going to be a life coach, a spiritual life coach, and write books. I was more about, this is what I do. This is what I have to do. When I come home, this is the experience that I have. These are the books that I read. These are the topics that I discuss. This is the prayer time I spend. And then I go to work, and I do what's needed to to do that job. And so it got to the point where I felt it was time to make a choice. And so I made this choice. I made the choice of letting my voice speak.
Dennis?
Yes.
Dennis, your microphone is fading in and out.
Can you hear me okay now?
There we go. I just want to make sure that everybody in the audience can hear the stuff that you're saying. I find it very important. In your book, you speak about one's life purpose and the human condition. Can you elaborate on that for, you know, our listening audience, that, that human condition energy?
Sure.
Life's purpose?
Yes. I would say that the purpose of life is to enjoy it. Plain and simple, to enjoy life. God did not create us not to enjoy life. But we have to strip away a bunch of beliefs that keep us in this state of resistance. I'm not good enough. Look what I've been through. Nothing good ever comes to me. You know, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Those types of beliefs that come our way, and we either choose to anchor ourselves in them and define ourselves by them, or watch them and release them for what they are. They're just beliefs. So when we the human condition, I would call, is that state of resistance that I spoke about. That state of resistance causes a construct of our world that is so specific to who we think we are, that there really is no difference between that internal belief system of who we think we are and the external reality that we create that seems to mirror to us that we are absolutely right. So you see things happening in your life and you're thinking, oh God, I don't want this in my life. I want my life to look completely different. And yet you have these internal beliefs about yourself and others that seem to confirm this external reality. So that's what I would define as the human condition. The human condition is really denying God's will. And God's will, in my definition of God's will, is what we experience, is our life. When, you know, it's funny when people say, you're being real with me, you know, or can you be more real with me? What they're meaning is, can you tell me how you're feeling? Can you tell me how you're truly feeling? Okay, well, what if we accepted that? If there was that level of acceptance of what we're truly feeling without judging it as bad for us, without judging it as a mistake, if we accepted that, I believe we're accepting God's will. But our human condition right now is one in which we're not accepting what is. We're not. We believe that we have a core sense of unworthiness, that we don't deserve happiness, that it'll never come to us, that we've made so many mistakes, no one can ever forgive us. Forgiveness is not something we can receive from ourselves nor from anyone else. And it's this state of ultimately fear of not being loved, fear of not being loved, that causes this human condition that I speak of. And the alternative to that is patience. The alternative to that is patience and trust. Trust that we truly are here for a reason, for a purpose. We are all children of God, beyond our beliefs, beyond what we think. That's who we are. And we're here to enjoy our life.
All right. And then in those thoughts, we further go into this process. How do we cultivate inspired action?
Mm-hmm. I would say by observing, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about observing our emotional guidance system. And what I believe the emotional guidance system does is that it connecting to our present moment awareness of what we're feeling and wanting right now. What is it that we're feeling and wanting? I've learned that this work really just, it bridges the gap between that state that we believe we don't want, which is might be that feeling that keeps gnawing at us, and that longing and that desire for something more. We start seeing what is that vibrational gap between those two. But the only way to truly see that is by truly connecting honestly with ourselves, with our present moment awareness of what we're feeling without judging it as bad, as good or bad, and then connecting to what we want. This process I learned from Christian Pankhurst, and he actually learned it from Tej Steiner, who wrote a brilliant book called Heart Circles, about how to take this process of connecting to what we're feeling and wanting, and out of that emotional vibration being increased and being raised, then cultivating what I would call inspired action, cultivating intuition, that place that is not judging, that place that's not being controlled by the left brain or the reptilian brain, that analytical mind just takes a break and allows for feelings to be expressed and experienced for their own sake. As we connect to what we want and our desires, there's that opening that happens, and inspired action can come out of that. get a thought that says, this is what I want, this is what I want to do, and it feels good. You automatically have that raise in energy, raise in vibration. Heart Circles, the book, Heart Circles talks about how to take that into the community and actually develop small groups that work together in a safe environment and actually create an environment in which you will be able to express your feelings without fear of being judged and connect to what you want. So have that experience of raising the vibration and getting feedback from those that are with you. Your energy has increased, your energy is flat, what's going on? Without telling a story, without engaging the left brain. It's a brilliant process, and I use it now in my life coaching.
I heard you a moment ago mention... I heard you mention Ted Spiner. Ted Spiner.
Yes.
And his Heart Circle and life coaching. You said that they were a help of you on this, on this journey.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
how did that work for you?
Yes. Well, I love his work. What it's become is, it's become my spiritual practice for myself. Basically, it's a three-step process: accessing what you're feeling without judging, labeling, or, you know, good or bad, right or wrong. Just feeling the feeling move through you, feeling that energy vibration move through you. Once that feeling is experienced and it's embraced without judgment, especially without engaging the analytical mind, asking the question, given this is how I feel, what do I want to feel better? To feel some relief. I mean, that's really what we're after here. The feeling of relief from these burdens that the world is in. I mean, think about it. I mean, we've got everything from economic burdens, international terrorism, people losing their jobs. There's so much going on. People are just feeling the weight of the world in each other's shoulders. And all that we're asking is, can I get some relief? This process allows for that by accessing the one portal, the one doorway that actually will get you connected to what you want, which is your present moment awareness of how you're feeling without the judgments that say, this is no good, I should not be feeling that. Because once you do that, you can't access the feeling. You shut it down. Depression sets in. You don't feel the juice moving through your body. And resistance of the feeling actually causes more suffering and more pain. So then you can't even access what you want. You're stuck. You're totally stuck. So how do you get unstuck? Accessing that feeling without judgment, looking at those judgments that they come one by one, and then connecting to what you want. And as you connect to what you want, hold that space. Hold that space for that higher vision. What does it look like to achieve that vision? Not necessarily to bring it today, but what does it look like just to long for it? Does that raise your vibration? And out of that, inspired action would come. So it's a simple three-step process, but it's extremely profound. Just like meditation. I mean, all these different practices are saying the same thing. Observe what you're thinking and feeling without judging them as good or bad. Notice them, watch them, don't engage in them as if you are defined by them, and allow for the spirit to move you. And so that's the process, and that's what I teach. Just looking at those judgments one by one, that's what I notice most of my life coaching ends up being, is just looking at those judgments that keep us from accepting who we are, those different layers of acceptance, looking at them one by one.
Okay, Dennis, we are going to come back in a moment and speak about this current pandemic of fear, and we want to take a break and hear from our sponsors.
Okay, thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're with our guest, Dennis Rodriguez, the author of The Superman Effect. And our next question is, can the current pandemic of fear be eradicated, Dennis? What do you think about that?
I do see it as a disease, so I think it does need to be eradicated. I believe that it is contagious, and it's contagious within ourselves. Fear breeds fear, and even greater and greater fear. That comment that President Roosevelt made, it seems to kind of lose some of its wisdom because of, you know, the fact that it was in a war and it was a long time ago. But the fact is that there's a lot of truth to that. The only thing that we really have to fear is fear itself, and it can lead to debilitating fear. And I believe that it inevitably will be eradicated, because at the end of the day, fear is the totality of the illusion that we're under. The opposite of that is love, and God is love. We know that at the end of the day, when we die, whenever that end comes, the fear dissolves. We have that inner knowing. I mean, we can feel that. Even though we might not choose to believe it within our incarnation, we can feel that there's an inner knowing that says that, you know, the girdle comes off, or the high heels are taken off after we die. So ultimately, fear will be eradicated, because fear is the main construct of the ego. That is the main construct. That is its main purpose, is to keep us in fear. And it creates that reality for us that validates that fear. And so it will be eradicated. The only thing that will keep it alive is our belief that the fear is absolutely real. And there are some people that are so tied to their fear, saying, don't tell me that it's going to be eradicated. There's a sense that they're so tied and they're so defined by their fear that anything that you believe is absolutely real truly is for you. You will live your life connecting to that reality and confirming it with everything that happens in your life. I choose to believe that fear is not absolutely real. It's relatively real, and it's only relative to the beliefs and judgments that I have about who I am, about what the world is. It's all perceptions. At the end of the day, when we go back, fear ceases to exist.
In your life, do you feel that? I mean, I heard you say a moment ago that, you know, you still have moments of fear. You still have, you know, moments of doubt or worry. Do you feel that on a basic balanced level, that you have eradicated most of the fear in your life?
No. And I'm glad you asked that, because I believe that I'm teaching this so that I may overcome my own fear, not the other way around. I'm not teaching this because I've overcome my fear. I'm teaching this so that I can overcome my fear. That's a shift. That's a huge shift in perception. You know, we believe we can't get out there and do things and be greater in life because we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. What if we decide that the reason why we're doing this is to play that out, whatever that is for us, play that out. And so I teach and I overcome the fear. I overcome the fear. A couple hours ago, I was in total fear. I was in fear of being on this show and feeling, oh my God, what if I don't make any sense? And what if I start stuttering? And what if there's a lot of us and all of those fears? And they feel real. They feel real. But I get help. I get help from others. I get help from a book. I get help from God, the universe, whatever, that says, stay centered within that. Why don't you just notice that dynamic, that little dance going on of the fear working its way through you? Where is it housing in your body? You know, somatic experience is a wonderful thing that we should explore. You know, what is happening, whether it's through, I know in here in Colorado, they have the Hakomi Institute, and that's a great practice that has to do with mindfulness and being in touch with the experience that the body physiologically is having when it's in certain states. But what if we're just noticing those states without saying, oh, I shouldn't feel that. I shouldn't feel that. How can I get rid of this fear today? What if we just notice it? Then it loses its power. And I did not feel fear during our conversation today. So it starts to lose its power.
One of the things that I've learned throughout my spiritual walk is that it's very difficult for me to teach a lesson that I haven't already learned myself. And so when I come upon that, my guides will bring to me, I don't know, a client, an article, a site, something that will deal with what I need to hear myself. I remember one point in time I had a client named Peggy, And it was amazing to hear myself say out loud, well, Peggy, you have to do things this way, because it was like talking to myself looking in a mirror.
Wow. That's wild. And I totally see what you're saying. You know, the funny thing is, that reminds me of something that happened to me. I went to a oneness blessing, actually, with Sri Bhagavan from the Mukti Diksha. And it was an experience of spending 49 minutes in meditation saying one thing. The whole group, about 200 or 300 people, were there, and they're all saying for 49 minutes, I am existence and bliss. Existence and bliss. Existence and bliss. And I started hearing, after a couple minutes, I started hearing, I am resistance and bliss, resistance and bliss. And I thought, what is going on here? And it's almost like, you know, you were saying that you started saying Peggy, and you started realizing, who am I talking to? Am I talking to her? Am I talking to myself?
Exactly, yeah.
And that's kind of what was happening with me. That then I realized that really that's your dichotomy right there. There's resistance and there's existence. And who we are, our intrinsic value comes from our existence. It doesn't come from anything else. It doesn't come from anything anyone does, anything anyone says to us, what we do, what we say, any of our beliefs. It comes from the fact that we exist, that we are who we are, because we're here.
And I know now that you're doing your own life coaching,
yeah.
Aren't you?
I'm sorry?
You do your own life coaching now?
Yes, I do.
Good.
Oh, yes.
How's that working out for you?
It's great. I love it. You know, it's the heart centering. The heart intelligence work has really been the crux. I was doing some intuitive readings and enjoying that, but then I realized that people are stuck and they want to feel unstuck. They might say that they're coming to find out what their career is supposed to be, what their purpose of life is going to be, or any of those things, but what they want to have is an experience of being unstuck, of feeling the juice of their life moving through their body, the chi, the life energy moving through their body again. They want to have that. And once they have that and they connect to that power, that authentic internal power, then their external reality starts to mirror that. And so life starts to rearrange itself, not the other way around. So my work has become primarily about connecting to what you're feeling and wanting without judgment. Simple as that. It is profound, and it's making huge changes in people's lives. That's what's rewarding. That's why I know that the Superman effect was real in my life. Because now here's where I am just 9 months later.
Well, I have so enjoyed reading your book, and of course through that getting to know you a little bit. Can you share with our audience how this process has ultimately changed, you know, your life and the life of your entire family?
I wrote the Superman effect because I just don't buy that this is the time to hunker down, put my dreams on hold, and give in to my fears and ride out this recession. So I can tell you, our lives at home are anything but boring. There's a lot of juice. There's a lot of juice that's coming from those days that are just of elation, those days of peace and harmony, and it's coming from those days where we're afraid, where it's dark, where we don't know what the next moment's going to bring, and we think that we're feeling like we're in the desert. I mean, I went through a few weeks where I felt, actually about a month, where I felt completely dry. I didn't feel any connection to God, intuition, source, inspiration, nothing. And so all of that, playing with that dynamic, has made my life so rich, realizing the perception shift in that it's not that somehow all this has gone away, but that there is stretching, there's growth happening. And my kids are seeing that. They see the freedom of me connecting to that source and trying to live that out. You know, it was my daughter a couple days ago, my seven-year-old, she made this comment out of the blue, and I didn't even know how to take it, but she said, Daddy, do you know that your heart tells you what's true and your mind tells you what's not true? So, Daddy, I listen to my heart. And I don't even recall ever telling her that. Who knows? Maybe she heard something between my wife and I or something like that. But I know she's watching. And that, to me, is the major miracle. That she's watching. So I'm shifting the way she's perceiving life. The extraordinary moments amongst the mundane, amongst the life that we see, that we think, oh, there's nothing to this. If we had enough space and if we suspended our judgments, my goodness, that life becomes just completely magical. And then we think, wait, nothing has changed. Our circumstances are still the same, yet our perceptions changed, so everything changed.
Wow. what a wonderful process this has been for you and your family. I want to thank you, Dennis, for being with me here on the Psychic View, okay? You have an amazing story, and I am so happy that we got a chance to share it with everybody, okay? You have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, Dennis.
For more information about Dennis, please visit his website at http://, and you have to have the www.supermaneffect.com. And if you're interested in reading Dennis's book, The Superman Effect, you'll find a link to it on our guests page on the Psychic Access Talk Radio site. I've got a few announcements here to make. I'd like to take a moment to let you know, if you haven't already heard, we are presenting a four-part series on 2012 Exposed. Please be sure to join us on October 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th, as each co-host presents their 2012 Exposed series. Each show will have a different theme. Be sure to stay tuned for this upcoming event. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site for anything psychic you would like to learn about. Learn about everything from reincarnation to how-to psychic development. And if you're interested in reading from one of the best psychics on the net, please do go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accurately tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standard requirements for our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working for Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible psychic site with high standards and integrity, so my reputation is safe. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, please visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. Okay, let's get on to the thoughts for tonight, guys. I like that guest. How do you guys feel about him?
Yeah.
I think he did a pretty good job.
He's amazing.
I was really interested. I thought that was pretty nice of him to say that he was nervous. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's honest. As it should be. People in the chat were really, people in the chat were really in awe of him, too, Pig.
Yeah, the chat room was buzzing. I had to close it down because I wanted to read it. I wanted to pay attention to what's going on with Dennis because he's got so many interesting things. He sent me so much reference material, guys. He was really an amazing guest. Yeah. All right, Marie, what about the higher self references creating a new reality?
Well, this is my thing about this. I think he brought up a couple things, but for each living being, each of us have a higher self or a divine spark. So this is the finest of the most radiant of the subtle bodies. And so the quickest frequency, let me get down to it. We must, for the higher self, we must be willing to let go or to surrender, to quit holding on to, and he spoke about this, of the old and what we thought was real. So to let go of our misperceptions that we have gripped onto so tightly, and to just be in the acceptance and letting go of how we thought things should look and be, and who we thought we were. And so in addition to our souls and our guiding way, it all comes down to, we're setting up situations unique to us that open the doorway. So we have all been programmed to evolve accordingly to our own individual blueprints. I know I have, at our own specific times. So that's my take on the higher self. So you cannot make this transition it being orchestrated by your higher self. So all in divine right order. So there are no mistakes when our egos and darker parts of ourselves cry out in resistance and fear, afraid of their demise. So what we all need to do is love them, even the lower things. But I have found for myself losing my identity is not that bad, and now feel much more lighter and with like an innocent child would feel. So dropping old parts of ourselves while trusting in Source allows the simplicity of the divine to shine through. But there's a process to getting that. you know, to that point.
I thought it was very interesting that Dennis had said that the process is ongoing. And I mean, when I was reading all of his stuff, it was just so much. There's just so much information. But I agree. You know, I have moments when I get down or I get in the drudgery of whatever is going on in my life, and I have to get, you know, a little kickstart to get back into where I like to resonate, which is at a higher, which is a higher level of my reality. What did you think, Maureen, about that question that was asked this evening about, you know, there's only one reality, why create another one?
Well, my take is on this, that's not true, because, again, well, you're going to maybe, I'm just going to mix this question up, I'm just kind of going off a little bit, but the thing of it is, the aim of the spiritual development, my take is to eliminate the lower self so that the higher self becomes free again. So all of our outer layers, it has acquired. So in our own life, we will be able to sense quite easily with yourself or others that certain parts of the higher self are already free while other parts are still hidden. Mm-hmm. Hope you can follow me on that. So so how much is free or hidden and how thickly it is hidden depends on the overall process or the lower. It's, so my feelings are, I can't just be wide, create another one, because I think it all is a process, ongoing process, like you said, and as he said too. So I don't know if I understood that question properly, but you know, that's my feelings, or my feelings on that. Yes.
Thank you. Alora, what is your experience with what Dennis coins, you know, as that moment when everything changes?
Well, when he speaks about, you know, the moment when everything changes and you create a new reality for yourself, for me, I find this moment, you know, quote unquote, to happen many times throughout my life, leading me to different, through to where I am today. So I wind up going through, it doesn't just happen once in your life, twice in your life. It happens every time you make a leap in your life, you know, when you make that evolutionary step up, so to speak. And the most recent moment for me was when I found myself laid off for a third time in a matter of 3 years while I was working in fields that were related. They were legal/business fields. And obviously, I couldn't help but notice, you know, this wasn't coincidental if it happened three times. So I really had to sit back and take stock of where I was at spiritually, the spiritual times we're living in, for example, the global economic downturn, job loss going on for massive amounts of people, news events and stuff like that. And I realized that my three layoffs were not coincidental. So, you know, I really sat back and I realized that the field I was working in may not be for me. So I asked myself, what do I really want to do? What is my passion in life? And my answer was my spiritual work. So that was a leap for me, one of those moments where you kind of really are so honest with yourself, whether it goes against mainstream or not. And as soon as I committed myself to that task in following my spiritual work, I found many things changing. I started meeting new people in the field, opportunities coming my way, more people asking me about my spiritual work and becoming more known for it. So I found my reality changing based on my feeling toward what I do. I wasn't as passionate about the legal and business field, even though I enjoyed it, but my spiritual work is a very deep part of who I am. So when I changed according to that part of myself, my reality started changing. So if I sincerely, in my heart of hearts, love what I do and feel it's part of my life purpose, I find things changing on a quantum basis. It builds momentum and opens up the most unexpected opportunities and changes if you're willing to flow with it. And I found that the opportunities that came my way were far better than my little mind could have ever imagined they would. So that's what I found, you know, when he talks about that, the moment when everything changes.
He also was talking about life paths. You know, I really do find that very interesting, your life path, the human condition. Steve, how can we discover our own unique life path?
I think the first part of the answer would be recognizing that we are unique and recognizing that we all do have a unique purpose and pathway in life. I think that there are a number of pathways that we have to explore to really identify what we should dedicate our lives to. And, you know, Maureen was talking a little bit about the higher self, and I think that we have to look at personality as a starting point. So I believe that whilst we can create whatever we want to create in life, we have to take time to reflect and understand who we are. And everything I read about personality suggests that our personality type is actually fixed by the time we're 5 years old, and it doesn't change. So understanding our personalities is a very important step in really leveraging the upsides of our personality and managing some of the challenges of our personality type. So for me, that's the first thing. And the second path that we need to explore in order to really get on the right track in life is to really understand our talents. You know, I loved what Dennis said about his daughter, and I think that children are very in tune with their talents and the things that give them joy, and we kind of lose sight of that as we move through life. So it's very important that we reflect upon our passions, our natural talents, the things that we do very well, because again, these things point to our unique purpose and our unique life path. The other couple of things I would say are numerology can be very insightful. I've looked quite a lot at my numerology and often explore a client's numerology, and it can be incredibly insightful, providing so much information about our individual and unique life purposes. And obviously the other way is to also get insights from a good psychic or a good medium, and to ask spirit for information about our unique purpose, how we can be fulfilled and really make the world a better place.
Interesting. I have to agree. You made a comment about our personalities being formed by the time we're 5 years old, and that personalities don't change. Is that...
Yes. I mean, yep.
So what does that mean?
Well, it means that... there are various different tools you can use to look at personality types. I particularly like the Enneagram. I found that very useful in helping me to understand the makeup of my personality type, and to help me really reflect upon my behavior, my reactions, the tendencies of my personality type, so that I can really be my very best. But all of the experts agree that your personality type is fixed by around the age of 4 or 5, and it's something that we have to acknowledge and manage. I feel that it's very important for us to look at, because really going through life without an awareness of personality type is like being on a ship without a rudder, and it can be extremely insightful. It's one of the keys to finding the right route in life, the right profession, the right purpose. It really does help.
The reason I ask is because I can kind of pull it all together when I was reading Dennis's book and listening to him speak tonight, and then the things that we're discussing. You know, I realize something as I'm watching my children grow. It is very true, and that who we are, who raises us, the society level, you know, I don't know, the climate, for goodness sake, but all these things build who we are. Either it's an obstruction of our spiritual view, or it's some sort of a kinky, twisted way that we think about life, but it's not always easy, and I do agree with Dennis, and even when Aurora was speaking, we have to have that aha moment. And occasionally, I still have to have an aha moment. But I can't remember back when I was 5 years old and what type of, you know, I think I might need to do some research on that, what you're speaking of. That might be a good idea.
It is fascinating, Miss Peg, and also really, I think it's very important in relationships. It's very important in the workplace, or working with colleagues, or collaborating with people, and particularly with kids. You know, we're born with a natural inclination towards a certain personality type because of genetics, our family history, etc. But it's influenced to a large extent in our formative years, and is fixed by the time we're about five. And I think that it's very important not only to explore our own personality types, but to consider the personality types of our children, our friends, our loved ones, because we are unique. We have a unique purpose, unique challenges, unique gifts and frustrations, and having an understanding of personality types can really help us to understand where other people are coming from and react well and support, love and collaborate well with everybody around us. So it's really important, in my opinion.
Interesting. If you've got any links or anything, you can send me, my friend. I'd show it. I'd like to look into that, because it definitely is proving very accurate what you're saying in my life right now, watching these two children. They do have separate fathers, but they are extreme opposites. Their personalities are very, very different. I'm very intrigued by that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll definitely send you something, Ms. Peg. It'll be my pleasure.
Thank you. All right. Maureen, one of the things I'm interested in hearing about you speaking of is the mask of emotional sickness. What does that mean?
Okay. I think you're... Well, I'm getting feedback. I think your guest may have talked about this, like Eckhart Tolle talks about, you know, the pain body a little bit, and it's kind of a little bit similar, but when people are emotionally sick, it is always a sign that, in one way, that... it's always a sign of... I'm sorry, I got lost. One way or another, is a masked self. And it has been created. So we do not realize that we are living a lie. I'm not saying that we're liars, but that we have built a layer of unreality that has nothing to do with the real thing. So thus, we are not being true to, and this is funny, Steve, to our real personality. So as I said before, well, I might have said this, I'm not sure, being true to oneself does not mean that you should give in to your lower self, but that you should be aware of it. It's very good to be aware of it. So we should not fool ourselves if we still act accordingly to the necessity to protect ourselves and not act of enlightenment version or inner conviction. So it's like being aware that our feelings are still unpurified because we're not perfect, and into that type of aspect. So when you have a good basis that which to start, it's easier for us to face ourselves in a manner which you realize that underneath all the layers of our lower self lives, that the higher self, our ultimate and absolute reality, which must eventually reach. This is very important for us to do this in order to reach it and to be okay with it. I think he might have, what I heard him saying about, you know, the pain body, which I'm familiar with that, is somewhat pretty similar, but it's being okay with it. We're not bad, we're not this or anything else, but we need to be acknowledging to that in our mask self. And by visualizing it and going through it, we reach a higher self. Much a better higher self. But it is a low, without the higher, we need the lower self.
Right.
Does all of this, I mean, does it sound confusing to you, or is it just me?
You know, it, in my personal experience, it doesn't to me, because like, for me, or many people, but I've worn a mask, and it's not because I'm a bad person, but I've worn a mask to protect myself, and... Okay. I didn't want to see the ugly, the very I'm talking about internally ugly, and so forth, or the dark and the black and the sinisterness of it all. But so to me it makes sense, because like I said, it is a process, it's a journey, it's a path, and it can be very uncomfortable. But I do feel it's very important to address that dark, the bad, ugly. It's not even the good there. But in order to get into the mask part and kind of like release from it, but it's, you need to go into that area. And I think it's very important, because if you don't, then what higher self could you bring about? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's important.
Okay.
So thanks. It is confusing. Yeah. I hope you followed me. Anybody?
I did, actually. Believe me, I did. Laura, as per your discussion a moment ago, you know, how does this change affect the creation of our reality, in your opinion?
Well, again, spiritually, the times we are living in are leading us to evaluate where we've come from, where we are now, and where we're going to. So things like the downturn of the economy, global weather and earth changes that are occurring, I believe are a sign of the spiritual times where we have an opportunity to create a greater reality, both as individuals and globally. So my own experience has been that not only am I finding myself growing personally, but I find that the laws I seem to live by are changing, which is really interesting. I find my way of thinking is changing. My attitude toward morality is changing. I was never a fundamentalist type of personality, but still we have certain morals in mind that we live by, and I'm finding that changing drastically toward my way of thinking towards differing beliefs, which I've always been very tolerant of, but they're still changing, and so that's what I'm noticing, and I can feel that each person is creating. I can actually feel this now with where I'm at, that every single person is creating his or her own reality based on his or her own view of what reality is for that person. So this means that we create, based on what I'm seeing and learning, we create our reality. And this is also spirit-based, by the way, because I've done meditations on it and channelings. But so this means that we create our reality based on how we perceive our reality to be. And I believe that is related to the area of quantum physics, with experiments that show that reality is influenced by our thoughts. This again means that there is not just one right or one wrong when it comes to the creation of reality, but there is divine right order, it seems, as a law of creating reality for ourselves. There's a certain basis or foundation that is true of everybody. Divine right order is our moral compass. And we have a lot of flexibility within divine right order to create whatever we want. And I've heard this said a bazillion times, but now I'm actually beginning to integrate it, to understand it, to internalize that understanding. And I've found that I begin to understand these things in layers, growing with each layer, and eventually becoming whatever I am at any given moment. Now, I know that sounds like a lot to digest, but if you just kind of let that sink in and then go over that again later, you'll find that as you go along, as our listeners go along, they really grow. At some point, they'll hit that reality. So that's how I believe this change affects the creation of our reality.
All right, thank you. All right, everyone, we're getting close to that portion of the show wherein we take your calls and questions. After we come back from this quick announcement from our sponsor, we'll give you that number. We'll be back in a second.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
All right, welcome back, guys, from that short little message from our wonderful sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. The call-in number for our call-in readings, 724-444-4851. Again, that number is 724-444-4851. And I'll post it in the chat room for you also. Okay, Steve, what is the role of intuition and self-enlightenment?
I think that its role is absolutely critical. You know, we work as psychics, as mediums, as spiritual workers, and we've had discussions in the past about whether everybody has psychic skills and can work with their spirit guides, with the angels, their own higher selves, and you know, we've said that absolutely we all can do that. And for me, it's an extension of intuition. But I believe very much in reflecting upon things in life, upon ourselves, so whether it's our personality, but also upon what our body's telling us, what we feel, so how what we feel inclined to do in life, how we feel inclined to react. And I think that intuition is absolutely critical. And I always advise clients to really reflect upon how they feel, because I'm certain that our feelings are designed to give us feedback about whether something is right or could be better or different. So for me, it's just critical to be aware of intuition, to listen, feel, and stay very aware of the things that we're experiencing and sensing, because they're all signs that help us to find our unique purpose and the right pathway in life.
Interesting. I don't disagree with you there. I wholeheartedly believe that paying attention to intuition is a good thing, and I know when I slip, it's a big mistake. All right, guys, we've already got a caller. We've got our first caller from Colorado. Hello, Colorado.
Hello. This is Jim. How are y'all
Hi,
doing?
Jim.
Great.
Jim?
I have a... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It just sounds really muffled. But, you know, I understand going through Dark Night of the Soul and being frustrated, and then, you know, aha moments. And my question... I called him probably maybe about 4 to 5 weeks ago. It was about my girlfriend, and we were engaged, and you know, I went out to see her, and I haven't heard from her since. And I've also invested in some business investments. And I guess what's frustrating is that the last couple months, I've just been like in a funk where I just feel like I can't move forward. I can't think, you know, about my business, and I just realized I've been putting a lot of energy into this investment, and I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting for it to pop. So my question is, what do you see? Do you see this investment coming forth? How soon do you see it? Do you see things happening with my girlfriend? Is my business investment going to happen first, or is my girlfriend going to come out and see me? So those are some of the questions I have, and maybe you can help me and maybe help remove some of the fears that I have. Thanks.
Okay, so let me break this down for my co-host. It appears that he is kind of in a hazy funk right now. And he is saying that he has an investment that he's made. He'd like to know if that investment is going to have any type of a payoff, what's going on with that. And he's also looking at some connection with his girlfriend, who he has not heard from since he went to visit her. So does anybody have anything?
Yeah. And what is going to happen first?
Okay.
I have some insight for you. The first thing my guides tell me is that you need to manage your tendency to really invest wholly in one opportunity, and I mean that in the sense that you need to sort of spread your investment over a broader range of opportunities. So my guides are saying that you tend to go, you know, you're inspired by something and you really go for it, whether it's a relationship or an activity, you really throw yourself into it with perfectionism. But you need to just step back and consider balancing investments and the things that you invest your energy as well as your money in. I do feel that the investment you've made is a good one, it's not an investment that's going to explode overnight, and it's something that's going to take time. My guides are giving me the number 5, and they've given me the letter M, which indicates months. So they're saying to me that it's going to be about 5 months before you see this investment really, really take off, but it will. Now, there's also a gentleman in spirit who's talking about hands. Do you have an issue, some discomfort or pain with one of your hands at the moment? Because I'm being really clearly drawn to your hands, or it feels like your right hand.
No, I'm in very good health right now. Very good health. And I don't have any pains in my hand.
Okay. Well, that's good. Just watch out for your right hand, because I feel my guides are saying that there is potentially an issue with your hand. Nothing dreadful, but just it's just sort of pressure. I feel as though you put yourself under pressure, and my guides are saying some of the pressure will manifest in your hands and your feet, and you've got to manage that. They say as well that there's an unexplored gift relating to your hands or your hands, that you have a good capability, an artistic capability, and it feels more like potsware and wood working with wood, almost wood turning and carving wood. And spirit is saying these are things that can give you a lot of peace and are really strong gifts for you. My guides say in relation to God, to your relationship, that you need to reach out and make it very clear to your girlfriend that she's the one, that you want to be with her, that you want to draw closer. It's almost as though there's some question in her mind about how passionate you are for the relationship, and I think you need to clarify that.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you calling in.
All right.
On a side note, I want to remind everybody of the call-in number. It's 724-444-4851. And please note that no one will answer your call. When your call comes in, you'll be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait, and you'll be able to speak to us when you're placed on the air. Okay? Once again, that number is 724-444-4851. And I hear we have a call from Massachusetts. Hello, Massachusetts. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Hello. Yep, I'm
here. All right. Who are we speaking to?
Oh, this is Beth Ann.
Kathleen?
Beth Ann.
Kathy Ann, okay.
What's your question, dear?
I have a question that I have a business that I've been having been extremely challenging, and a certain opportunity sort of fell into my lap as a job possibility, and I'm really seriously looking at it as something that could actually be a really great gift to me, but it's just, you know, having had my own business for so long, doing any kind of other job is scary, but feeling a lot of really positive things about it, so I was just trying to see if you picked up anything about that for me.
Okay, I have something.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, is it Kathleen Ann?
Beth Ann.
Kathy, okay, I'm sorry. Beth. Okay, well, Beth. There we are. Beth Ann. I'm sorry, Beth Ann. Thank you. Beth Ann, this is Maureen. What I'm getting is that you really are in a good situation to thrive through. I think that you have some fear of, you know, money or poverty issues, which is a fear. But I do see you thriving towards a much happier, I mean, a lot of success, a lot of joy in going in the direction of this other business opportunity. I see you it taking off, but and I see there's another gentleman around this too, who has a lot of, he's interesting, he's a little flighty, but he has a lot of good energy that would help this, if there's a man involved of any sort, male energy. But I do feel that if the timing is good for you right now, and I feel that I feel you should go for it. I think that you probably know deep inside, and I do feel that it would be successful.
You were asking about this job opportunity, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see that you're looking. I'm seeing that you have good thoughts, which is good, because as far as manifestation is concerned, you're in line with things. However, one of the things I see is that it would be real important to open up to other options, really get related viewpoints and things like that, rather than rely on this one, because I don't see that it's cycling in at this moment for you. Okay?
Other viewpoints? You mean other people's?
Yeah, other, you know, check out other options that are available to you. Could be related, could be something you get creative about, it could be talking to other people. But I get more really looking around to kind of modifying or altering what you're looking for. To get to the right, to get the thing you're really looking for, or to that which will open up to you. Because whatever it is, the specific opportunity you're asking about hasn't quite cycled in for you yet. So you're going to need to alter things somewhat, or at least look at other possibilities. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure what you mean exactly. No, sorry.
Well,
you
know,
you
you're going
right,
to have to kind
right
of...
Thing. Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
You don't feel it's the right thing.
No, I feel like it's not going to open up for you in the way you would like it to.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it could, or you may have to wait till it's, till, like life comes and goes, life will go along in cycles. You'll have an up and a down cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now I feel like that cycle is down for you with this specific situation. So it's not going to open up in the way you would like it to at this point. So do look at other possibilities, or thinking creatively, and maybe in a related field or a related sort of situation. I'm not sure if I'm looking at this particular one where you might alter it, or another one. But, you know, take a look at all of the above. Because that will be more, because that way you can expand possibilities for yourself. Okay? And that will, you will actually find something you're more inclined to enjoy.
Okay.
I wanted to give some insight as well here. It's really interesting. We couldn't hear you very well at the beginning of the call, and I was missing your name, but it's not important. But I think one of the things that is important for you is I kept on getting the letter K, and it was a female whose name begins with K. My guides are saying that you really need to look out for, or keep your, not in a worried sense, but just in a very, keep your mind very open to a lady whose name begins with K that you will connect with, and she will be very inspirational in helping you find the right path. Now, Alua was talking about ups and downs, and we all have ups and downs. My guides are saying that there are a couple of issues with you, and in terms of you moving forward, and they're opportunities for you to get where you want to be. The first issue my guides are giving me is that you are not good at delegation. So when it comes to your current business, you are the one that really holds the reins on everything. And in order to step forward to the future, you need to not let go of that business or let go of the control, but you do need to delegate more and accept more help. Does that make sense to you in the first instance?
About delegating?
Yes.
The thing is, it's not really anybody to delegate it to. And I feel it's kind of... it's on its cycle, the business.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, my guides are challenging you because they're saying that my guides are not encouraging me to tell you to let go of your business. They're encouraging you to think about delegation and bringing somebody in that you can hand over a lot of the work to, so that you can really move forward. The other opportunity for you is that the job that you're interested in or the role that you're interested in is a good opportunity, but you're not setting your sights high enough. You're not clear enough about where you want to go. You are good with people and understanding people. So we're talking a little bit about personality types and bordering a little bit on psychology. You should have an interest in psychology, in the mind, in understanding people's makeup. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really good at that.
Yeah. Now, that is definitely the direction that you should be going in. You're very good with information and research. You have a lot of healing energy, and my guides just encourage you to really go for that path, but on a bigger level than you're considering, and be confident. Set your sights high, because there's a lot of research and work for you. And my guides say that this lady whose name begins with K will come up in that field, but it will all work out very well for you. But do consider how you can delegate and still keep and maintain the income that you have from your business. My guides say it hasn't run its course. There's still a good opportunity for you there. There's also a gentleman in spirit whose name begins with A, and he feels like great-grandfather, but he's wishing you luck and giving you a huge amount of support and encouragement.
Great. Yeah, I'm just looking for something to give me some more stability to do my spiritual work. But I actually am working more with that, and I'm feeling good about that. It's getting stronger and moving out into the world, but I need some. It's just like having some financial stability to support it.
Yeah, well, this is why I consider keeping your business, but having somebody or people help you so that you can free up time but maintain and actually increase the income. Set your sights very high. Could you place this gentleman whose name begins with A? He's saying grandfather or great-grandfather. It's very clear.
I can't think of any. No, not coming in. No, but
I want to just try and work this out. He's talking about hair.
Hair?
It looks as though, it feels as though he's touching your hair. I can feel it very, very clearly. He's also saying that you've been quite tearful, and he's talking about teardrops, and he's saying that he's around you when you feel lonely and when you feel down, and he's seen your teardrops.
Yeah.
But he's very strong, and he's definitely a member of the family. I want you to ask on your, let me ask, mother, father, which side of the family? He's talking about your mother's side of the family, and I've gone cold on the left side, so he's definitely related to your mother's side of the family. So do ask about him, because he not only belongs to the family, but he's a strong supporter and guide of yours. And he's just given me the name Albert, so ask about the name Albert. He's also talking about a connection. He's showing me clothing. It looks like tartan. So ask also about a connection with Scotland, quite a long way back in the family, because he's taking my mind to Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, I was close to my grandfather, but there's no Scottish. It wouldn't make any sense. But anyway, he's a nice thought. You know, close to my grandfather. Very nice. He's very close to me.
Well, that's wonderful. I wish you lots of luck and love for the future.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. We have in our chat room, one of our regulars, Eric from Pima TV. He says he has got a lot of irons in the fire right now. He says he feels like he's living in a very chaotic space. Does anyone see that changing or lifting?
Okay. This is from Eric?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say, Eric, is and I haven't asked for the full thing yet, but the very first thing flying in for me to tell you is that spiritually, and you're going to have to start from top down, meaning your spiritual, whatever is important to your internal life, which will affect your external reality, and this is specific to your question, is to really lay down your boundaries, you know, kind of clear, get yourself internally in order, okay, and make room for that, prioritize that, and that way the rest will fall into line. The chaos is coming from an internal standpoint, reflecting outward, so be sure and get yourself in order. If you're going through a harried kind of period of time or confusion or something, just stop, take a deep breath, start listing your priorities, and then start organizing things according to those priorities, and let all the extraneous trivial stuff kind of go and allow things to fall into place. But that's what you're going to have to do, Eric, is just start kind of laying down your boundaries for what's important and what's not, and do it from a higher standpoint rather than the lower, and then the lower will come into sync with the higher. Be conscientious of the lower so that you can, you know, become aware and know what to do with it. But you'll only become aware and know what to do with it once you get the higher priorities in line. And that's what I'm seeing for you. That's really, really crucial for you.
I got something, if that's okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Eric, hello, this is Maureen. And you know what my feelings are with this is, this is about useless sacrifice. I know you've heard me talk about this before. Everybody may not have. But my feelings are, it's almost like you're maybe not achieving your full potential, or you're not being allowed to use your full potential in stuff right now. And it is what it is. And so I see that there's a lot of blockage of communication. There's a lot of, like, there is chaos. You talked about chaos. And it's not because of you so much. I think it's the timing. I think it's almost like to ride this wave a little bit longer. Because like I said, I think you're not achieving some things because you're not being allowed to. And it is what it is. But that's all. And I think it's about timing, and within the next 4 weeks, things will change. The end.
Steve?
Yeah, Eric, you know, my guides are saying to me that you are somebody that has wonderful energy. You have a huge amount of stamina and energy. You know, you really take on the world, and that's a wonderful wonderful thing, wonderful a gift to have. You really are somebody that can set your sights high and really achieve. Your challenge is that because you're so enthusiastic about life and about everything that's going on around you, you get involved in too many things, and I would bet my bottom dollar that your personality type with the Enneagram would probably be the enthusiast, or primarily the enthusiast, certainly a strong element of the enthusiast. And as I said, the challenge of the enthusiast is how to stay focused, how to stay calm, and really, really deliver a core number of opportunities rather than going after too many things. So my guide says, step back and think about what you value. Your values are a very, very good indicator of who you are and how you can be most successful in life. So think about what you value and just step back, be calm and reflect and say, well, what does this mean? Because your values indicate how you could be most successful in life. There is a business partnership for you in the future. You're quite entrepreneurial, and as I said earlier, you're capable of balancing a number of things. Just make sure that you don't take on too many. I don't see you doing one thing or focusing upon one project. There are about three that you should be focusing upon, but in a really calm manner. At the moment, you're doing about, it looks like, 5 to 7 things. The number 7 is also significant for you. There's a lady in spirit who's saying that 7 is a significant birthday, and she's also just pointed to a telephone number and said that her telephone number when she was here had 3 sevens in it, and that's one of the signs for you in life. So not only a sign about your personality type if you look at the Enneagram, but also a sign that spirit will give you to help you indicate or help you see that you are on the right path. And you have good intuition. You're issue is you're sensitive to many different types of energy, and you get involved and enthused by many different things and need to just step back and focus a little bit. The name Angie is also significant. This lady's given me the letter A. She said that it repeats in the family, but she's saying that Angie is significant for you. She's a relationship, feels like a work relationship rather than a personal relationship, but look out for that name because I can feel her very strongly, and I hope that helps, and wish you all the very best of luck. You do have a really strong capability to trip the energy, Eric, and bring in a lot of financial reward, but step back and make sure that it's aligned with your values. Make sure that it's a return for the biggest difference that you can make in this lifetime, and accept this lady's love. She's also talking about pottery. She had a collection of looks like cups and saucers. She showed me pottery with painting on. So if you don't know about that, then ask in the family, because she's extremely clear as she comes through. So lots of luck to you.
Okay, I've got a couple things here too for you, Eric. You know, you've been with the show since its concept, basically, and we all went with you through your process over the summer. And I'm really glad here to see that that's hitting, by the way. It looks like, Steve, that you're picking up on his wife's grandmother. The 3 sevens and the Angie belong to Kim, his wife. Anyway, I really feel like the process that you went through, your Gansfeld, all the things you've been doing, your work with Pima, PTN, that's where your heart lies, I believe. Your soul, your heart, your soul lies there. And I feel like your job, that which, you know, brings in the finance to keep the house and everything going, you know, the life, it's just wearing thin. It's wearing thin on you. And the fact that you're being challenged right now, I feel has a lot to do with the fact that you're being pushed, like I mentioned earlier in the chat room. You know, you can make all the choices you want and go in the direction you think is right for you, but the universe will grab you and snatch you back to where you're supposed to be. So, and I feel like what's happening with you is a lot about your direction, having nothing to do with, you know, the 9-to-5, you know, drive the big trucks and dump the booze around the state. It has a lot to do with what you're going to be doing spiritually in your life. Okay? All right, our next question comes from another one of our regulars, Julie. And she asks the question, well, it's gone, but she asked a question about Ian. She wanted to know if he was going to get a job outside of the house, or was he going to be doing the internet business?
The what business is that?
Internet that? Business.
Is that internet. What
he, yeah. Was he going to get a job outside of the house?
I don't see him getting a job outside the house at the moment, and I'm not really seeing him work the web business at this time. Let me just look at this. I'm a little confused by that. Okay, so I guess there's more than one choice that isn't coming up, but It looks like there's a change that needs to be made. And with that, it's going to be something that is really in line more with who he is. Now, if that's the web business, then it's important for him. One of the things I'm seeing is it's important to him to move forward with that and not kind of, I almost get the feeling like he hasn't really been, there's something he should be doing with it that he hasn't. In other words, he's kind of stopped. Even though he's persevering, there's just something he hasn't been doing with it. So if he wants, if it's the web business that is really something in line with his life purpose or his heart's desires, his values and so forth, he needs to get moving on it. Otherwise, it would be something else, not necessarily outside the house and not the web business, but there is a change that needs to be made, and I feel like it's more from Ian that it needs, you know, it's kind of like with Eric, what I was saying, it will need to come more from Ian himself. Okay, he needs to get, what I would say is it seems that he needs to be in tune with what it is he really wants and be motivated. That's the word I'm looking for. Be more motivated to go for it, to really work on it and do more with it in the right direction. And that's it.
I feel like he's stuck too. I don't know what it is, but I feel like he's mired down in something. I don't know. My guides aren't showing me the vision that I'm getting is that he's stuck in his knees up to, like, you know, mud. And I don't know what that's about or what it's surrounding. It's almost as if he's not focused in the direction he's supposed to be going in. So he feels a little bit tied down. So okay. All right. Thank you for asking, Julie. And we have our next question is from, oh, I can't remember who it was from. Let me look at the names. Butterfly Spirit. She said, I've lost my gung-ho where my people business is concerned. I was once flying high and loving it, but this last year, I've seemed to not be able to find my enthusiasm and motivation. Do you see me finding it again, or is it time, in your opinion, for me to move on? And that's Butterfly Spirit.
Okay, I got something for her. Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay. She's looking for a groove thing then to see about if she should. The groove thing. Okay, Butterfly Spirit. I get a really good feeling that you actually started out with a really control. You had taking control of your life, your path, where you're heading. And then becoming a little bit distraught about family or something of not being supportive. You know, people aren't supportive of where you're heading, what you're doing. But I feel that you're overcoming that, and people, it's really important for you to have a connection with family or people that will embrace you and what you're doing and everything else. And I do feel that that's happening. I do see a male energy that is connected with this. I don't think so much romantic, maybe, but he's a business person and dark hair, and I feel together, you're really heading towards a really positive project, or embarking in something. It's very positive what I see, but I think you've had a little bit of a bump in the situation. But I do feel that people are rising to the occasion and are very important to you. So it looks very positive, and I'd say keep moving, thriving on it.
Anyone else?
I see the first thing I got was almost like she Butterfly Spirit feels like almost like she's in prison. You know, she just is locked down, and it could be a financial thing, but I'm feeling like loss of motivation has to do with lack of freedom, and it could be freedom with money or, you know, financial freedom, but I'm still feeling that lack of freedom, and it could be a very imprisoning kind of feeling, and that's kind of feeling I'm getting from her. I am seeing that the time is now. Something is going to give. You're just not seeing it, so try and look at it from a different perspective. It is going to come to the fore. Just work on it. I do see a positive outcome, and your passion will come back. That was one of your questions. It will come back.
Maureen?
I already went through mine with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I apologize. It was Steve. Yeah.
I have a couple of quick snippets. The first is to think about climate. Don't get the feeling that you are in the right climate. You need a lot of sunshine, and I feel as though you're in an environment that is not dark, but there's just not enough light and sunshine, and you need to think about that. There is also a connection with a gentleman in the family. It feels like a brother or a brother-in-law, but there's definitely a gentleman in the family who's in, no, I was going to say late 30s, but my guides are pushing me over. It's early 40s. There's a gentleman that that has good contacts and good advice for you, and Spirit also giving me the name Alan, saying that there's an Alan that's important for you in the future that will come up for you professionally, and to look out for him. But I feel very optimistic about the future for you.
Okay, great. We have one last question in our room. It's from Isaac. He says, I also have a question for the panel. I want to know if I am in the best career for me. What does the future hold for me in this career that he's in now? I'd like to know, I probably should have asked by now, I apologize, what career he's in, actually. Isaac, what career are you in? He's in the chat room. He should answer.
That was my question. You're reading my mind, Ms. Peg.
Oh, we forgot Julie's question, but we'll get to you, Julie, after this one.
We did Julie. Julie was the question referencing Ian in his internet business. Okay, I don't see Isaac's response as to what
career. I'm just going to ask if this career is the right one, then, and hope that I'm getting that he needs to really investigate more, get more of his questions answered as to whether or not this is the right career for him. He really needs to do more seeking, finding, and so forth. That much I can say for him.
Well, I have something. Again, I see that he's in a very, it looks like a very spiritual, a little bit of a lonely type of, it can be lonely, career. Maybe it's a whatever it is, like spiritual connection with him. But I do feel that you're also going through some very difficult times in the past that has not yet been, like your sleep. I see your sleeping. It's hard sleeping, even though I feel you're, you know, I think you're on the right track, but I think there's some stuff that you're going to be going through that is, it is what it is in life. But John, I always use John Lennon, you know, his saying goes, life is what happens when we're busy making other plans. So I think you're on the right track, but I do think there's some stuff that's heading your way that you're going to have to stop and deal, you know, just kind of respect and deal with and be gentle to yourself. And it doesn't have any reflection on the wrong path you're on. It just is, it is what it is. I think that you are on the right path, absolutely. The end.
Steve?
You know, my guides are saying that you are on the right path, and I absolutely concur with Maureen that you're on the right path spiritually. You're clear about your values and what you want in life. My guides are saying, work-wise, it's a big no. You have a really strong mind. You're a bright guy, and you know, intellectually, you're very interesting. My guides are pointing you towards science, and I don't often get that. It's quite rare for my guides to point so strongly towards science. And I suspect that you might be quite surprised by that suggestion. I get the feeling that if you were on the telephone line, you would say, that's not something I'm doing right now. But my guides are very clear that a big part of the future for you should be scientific, and really making sure that you do as much as you can with your great intellect. You should also be an avid reader. And I see so scientific textbooks and study research for you. My guides have also just pointed up to the stars and said that there's an interest in other planets and astronomy. So I hope that helps you. But please do think about the science connection and really making sure that you use your intellectual capacity to its greatest. I wish you lots of luck.
Okay. All right. It looks like we're going to come to the end of yet another awesome show. Guys, this was great.
Good. Yeah, it was.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
It went really nice and really smooth. I really appreciate it, you guys. I want to thank you all for being here and being so supportive. I'd also like to thank my guest, Dennis Rodriguez, for joining us. Remember, you can go to our guest pages right here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com and pick up any information. And for everyone that we did readings for this evening, you can also get an extended reading from any one of us or any one of the wonderful, talented psychics at psychicaccess.com. Next week's show is going to be anchored by Maureen. What do we look forward to next week?
Okay, the Golden Age of Atlantis was known as a remarkable time. Spiritual well-being was regarded and lived total harmony with each other, as a collective was a given. They were what this is what we thrive to be. So 2012 is not the end, but the beginning of what we have come to know as the Lost City of Atlantis. So the global unconscious shift and the beginning of a new age, this has come to be known as the 2012 phenomena. So I'd like you to join. My guest is, she's the number one best-selling author, pioneering doctor and healer, Dr. Alora Julian Ariel, and she's the creator of the Quest and award-winning author of the Earth 2012 series. She brings an exciting missing piece to our present planetary equation with her unique perspective on 2012, weaving a blend of scarce prophecies, prophetic visions, and scientific predictions around 2012. She unveils a glorious potential that is casting its first rays of light on Earth. Now, this show topic is the most interesting of all 2012, as we look at the positive of all of us all as a collective coming into this new cycle. So we welcome you to submit any questions you may have about 2012 Atlantis. Just click the Contact Us link on our website, psychicaccesstalkradio.com. We will be receiving many questions with this topic, so please do not wait to submit your questions. It's going to be great.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well.
All right, everyone. Well, for me, it's come to an end here on the Psychic View. I want to thank Doug for all the work that he's done and he's put in, and all my co-hosts on the show. I will not be returning as a co-host on the Psychic View. This was my last show. I'm sadly doing this, and I will be here always with you guys in spirit, and if you ever need me, and I'll also be in the chat room, yakking it up, enjoying everything that you guys do. I just wanted to let you know that I love you all very much, and I appreciate being a part of this wonderful team. I know you guys are going places, and I will be there to watch. All right? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Peg. It was a wonderful show.
Yes, we would miss you.
It really was, and oh, I love you too, Miss Peg. And I'm sure I speak for everybody when we say that we love you. We're going to miss you, but we are so happy. I know I'm so happy. I'm going to still see you in the chat room and have your energy with us. So, with that, I'm going to say it was wonderful, great show. Really enjoyed it. Thank you all for being with us tonight. I look forward to having you with us again next week. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.